Funding for Smart Talk is provided by Capital Blue Cross. For 80 years, Capital Blue Cross has offered products that provide peace of mind and promote good health, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Health and Wellness Centers that provide in-person service and inspire healthy living. Capital Blue Cross is behind you for whatever lies ahead. More information is at capbluecross.com. Capital Blue Cross. Live fearless. Smart Talk is also supported by UPMC Pinnacle, who has offered transapical mitral valve repair procedures for more than 3 years and currently serves as a trial site for over 50 clinical trials. Information at upmcpinnacle.com/myheart.
Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. Democratic Governor Tom Wolf yesterday rejected a Republican-drawn congressional map designed to replace the one the state Supreme Court declared unconstitutional. The court had ruled that congressional district boundaries enacted earlier this decade were gerrymandered to favor Republican candidates and didn't meet Pennsylvania's constitutional requirements. So now the governor has a deadline of his own to submit another map that the court finds is fair. Joining us for the first portion of today's program is WITF's Capitol Bureau Chief Katie Meyer. Katie, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
A big day yesterday, Katie. There was a lot going on, and we're going to hear from a couple of the players, if you will,
sure,
in just a minute. By the way, if you have a question or a comment about the events of yesterday, redistricting, gerrymandering, you can give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. All right, so Katie, let's start with a summary of everything that did happen yesterday.
Well, Governor Wolf issued a statement, as you said, rejecting the map that the Republicans had drawn and submitted to him. Now, these Republicans who drew the map, it was literally just the leadership of the House and Senate. It did not get a vote from the General Assembly. That had been something that was sort of stipulated in the original order from the court, but they said, we didn't have enough time. You guys didn't give us the full order until 3 days before our, you know, deadline that you gave us, so this is what you're going to get. Senate President Pro Tem Joe Scarnati and House Speaker Mike Terzai were the ones who were sort of in charge of this map. They submitted that. Wolf says it is still too gerrymandered. Now, on its face, this map does look much better. It's, you know, the kind of hallmark of gerrymandering as we've come to know it is squiggly, twisty districts, and this map doesn't really have those nearly as much as the other one did, the current one that we're working on now. But what the map does do is it keeps the partisan balance of the state relatively the same. We haven't had specific data from that, but it's been pretty clear from a lot of the analysis that's been done that Republicans would still have a roughly 15-seat, like, you know, 13-5 kind of majority in the congressional districts out of the 18 seats that we've got. So Wolf said that this map is partisan and gerrymandered, and the Republicans say that's fine, basically.
Well, let's hear from them. This is J.J. Abbott, who is a spokesman for Governor Wolf.
The standard for which it was deemed unconstitutional was that it gave distinct advantages for a particular political party.
Mm-hmm. Now, Katie, provide a little bit of background here.
Sure.
The governor used what he called several experts, mathematicians, statisticians,
yeah,
to come up with his map. How did he use those people?
Well, he basically had them analyze the map that the GOP gave them. So Wolf has not submitted a map of his own. He's said that this map is a partisan gerrymander. He used a Tufts professor named Moon Duchin, and she said in her statement, and we didn't really see her work on this, but she said that when you check this map against other ones that are acceptable under the Supreme Court's guidelines, this one has a 0.1% chance of actually happening in the wild, which means it's a partisan gerrymander in her eyes. It's more partisan than any map that would be randomly generated. So that's her rationale. Now, Republicans say, wait, listen, and like, partisanship was never a standard here. This is a partisan process, and you have a clip of that.
There's not any standard in what the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said or anywhere in the federal government or any court ever that says competitiveness is a standard.
That is State Senate Majority Leader, Republican Senator Jake Corman.
Yep. And so that's where we get into this really kind of tangled web of how to interpret this order, because, you know, the order calls for more compactness, more contiguity, and not to split municipalities, areas of interest, that sort of thing. It also rules the previous maps unconstitutional on the grounds that they are a partisan gerrymander. So the Wolf administration says, well, then you can't do another partisan gerrymander. Republicans say it's always a partisan process. We stuck to those, you know, compactness, contiguity guidelines. You know, that's it. We did the job. So now, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what the Supreme Court accepts as a map. But so going forward now, we're going to be getting into this situation where we don't know if the legislature and the governor, it doesn't look like they're going to be working together on a map. It could change in the next couple of days. But we're getting into a period where Wolf can submit his own map. Other parties to the case, which I think the leaders do qualify for this, as do other complainants, you know, those sorts of people who have been involved in the lawsuit, they can submit their own maps, and the Supreme Court can also draw their maps. They've reserved the right to do that.
I don't know whether, I've been around a long time, and I don't know whether I can remember anything moving this quickly and this complicated so quickly. But let's bring up a couple issues here. Senator Corman basically was complaining that the governor rejected the Republican map because it didn't favor enough Democrats.
Yeah.
And he was saying that, you know, the partisanship, that that's not part of what the Constitution says, what the court says.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what he also said, and I think this is a big issue for many Republicans, is that when you look at Pennsylvania, most of the Democratic voters, at least registered Democrats, and how they have voted over the years, are located in the cities, in Philadelphia, in Pittsburgh, and in, you know, the more populated areas, the more urban areas, and that the rural areas are overwhelmingly Republican.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to draw a map, you draw the map where people are, you know, you have a certain amount of people. So, you know, what about that argument?
I mean, I think in some cases, yeah, it's a fair argument. I mean, it is difficult to get the full sort of might of Democrats when you're drawing district lines, because you're right, they're in a very small, just geographically small area. So what you have to do a lot of the time, if you're going to try to draw a map that, you know, favors Democrats that are packed into small districts, you sort of draw those districts out so they encompass some suburban space. A lot of Republicans have a huge problem with that because they're like, well, that's just gerrymandering in, you know, the other direction. And so, you know, trying to get Democrats an outsized proportion of the vote. And so it's just, it gets very, very hazy on what's acceptable. And people are going to interpret the Supreme Court decision sort of in whatever way they want.
And Republicans are also accusing Governor Wolf of basically allowing the court to do this, because the Supreme Court has said that if the governor does not, or put it this way, you're going to look at what the governor has submitted, the maps that have been submitted by tomorrow, and if they're not satisfied that they are fair, that they will come up with their own map.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans have already said they're going to go to court if that be the case, because it's taking their duties as legislators out of their hands and putting it in the court's hands.
Yeah.
So this, as we're talking about happening quickly and being complicated, it could go on a lot longer, too.
This could be an interminable situation. But yeah, you know, you're right. Republicans are saying this is a constitutional crisis if the courts do draw the map. They're saying the U.S. Constitution, you know, gives legislatures, bodies, a right to draw congressional maps. And if the court takes that right, as they say the court is doing, then they think it's unconstitutional. So that's sort of the situation. Now, the court has argued that it has the right to draw its own maps. The court has drawn maps in the past, but never in a situation like quite like this, or they picked a map, I think, in the 90s. But this situation's very rare, and the court basically said, we can draw this map because the previous map was unconstitutional and there's no recourse to get a better one, so, ergo, we're choosing one. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it really, like, we could talk about this for a very long time, but we're sort of in a standoff period right now.
And just to clarify, and I want to do this all the time because it is complicated, that when we talk about constitutional, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court was basing it on the Pennsylvania Supreme,
Pennsylvania Constitution,
where you just mentioned the U.S. Constitution. Right. And we're going to be talking with Micah Sims from Common Cause in just a few minutes about diversity being taken into consideration. And that is something that the U.S. Supreme Court says must be taken into consideration. So just wanted to clarify that. Let's take a phone call quickly before you take leave of us here, Katie. Faith is in Lancaster. Faith, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'm getting the impression that there really is no protocol for setting district limits. Is that correct? I mean, what guidelines are there from, I guess, the federal constitution and then from the Supreme Court? Is it supposed to be a proportional representation of Democrats to Republicans, or how is it done?
All right. Thank you very much for your call. I think that something that Faith said there at the very beginning, that there doesn't appear to be any protocol. It may appear that way, but that's not necessarily the case. Katie, can you explain?
Well, yeah, and you're right. I think this is something that's been interpreted differently at various times, but in the state of Pennsylvania, there is some protocol for drawing congressional maps. They all have to have, and, you know, nationally for drawing congressional maps. So this is a federal law. They all have to have the same population within one person, for instance. You know, there are standards of contiguity, meaning that, like, you can't have one congressional district that has two blobs that aren't attached to each other. It has to be one
district. 7, think that way. Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm saying, like, they have to at least be connected. You also have to have them be relatively compact, i.e. it can't be a snake that goes all the way around the state, obviously. You know, people have interpreted those standards very, very differently. And so, I mean, you're right. I think there are people are trying to create new standards for how to, you know, govern these things and make it a little bit more consistent. But it's tough to do that.
And, you know, one of her questions also was about being a population proportion.
Yes.
There is that as well.
Right. I mentioned the populations all have to be equal in the districts within one person.
Right. Katie Myers, WITF's Capital Bureau Chief. Katie, thank you very much for being with us today. this doesn't seem that it will be ending anytime soon, but it is a good lesson in civics for a lot of Pennsylvanians.
It is. Yeah. Stay tuned.
Yeah. And thank you, Katie, very much. Now I want to bring in Micah Sims. Micah Sims is the executive director of the Good Government Group Common Cause. Mr. Sims, welcome to the program.
Scott, thanks for having me.
So I guess I'm going to ask you for the 40,000-foot view from Common Cause's point of view.
Sure.
How do you look at this?
So I want to commend you and Katie for doing an excellent job of bringing your listeners into civics class, because I think you guys have given an excellent backdrop to what is currently going on. From 40,000 feet, we look at this as this is a real problem for us. The process needs to be fixed. We really need to have some hardcore standards applied. We really need to be looking at the values that we are applying in this process as we are drawing these maps. And actually, we really need to be holding our elected officials accountable. It's Valentine's Day. I would like for the Republicans and the Democrats in the House and the Senate to show some love, and the governor to get in there. And I would really encourage them to get us a map on Valentine's Day. Why don't you do that? I know we need to get some roses, but we also need to get a
Well, see, what I'm afraid of, Micah, is that if there were arrows being shot, like from Cupid, that they would not be from Cupid.
I would agree.
When you say some standards, I'm going to break that down.
Yeah.
What kind of standards are you talking about?
So I think, you know, obviously by the Constitution, we have those neutral standards of, as Katie was indicating, contiguity, compactness, deviation, obviously, is one that you talked about, population deviation. But I also believe that we have to begin to look at, you know, the whole question of, you know, VRAs, making sure that we are keeping equality in context. There are currently two congressional districts that have majority-minority districts.
Both in
Philadelphia, and we're hopeful that whatever map is drawn, that those congressional districts can continue to have majority-minority districts. But not only that, Scott, we really believe at Common Cause that this is an opportunity for us to see compromise happen. We think that we believe that if you ask for transparency, we ought to get transparency. Give us the data. Tell us what data you're using. Tell us what vendors you're using to supply the data. Give us the analysis or the analyst that you're using. Let us know what you're doing. Open it up so that the general public can really see. I have a great group of mappers at Common Cause, and I realize that the difficulty, Scott, is not in drawing the map. The difficulty is negotiating what the trade-offs are once you apply the standards to the map, because we can't cut Pennsylvania into equal squares. That's not how congressional districts are going to be drawn. But there's going to have to be some trade-offs of how to move this, how to move that. And at the end of the day, Scott, from 40,000 feet, what we really want are competitive districts. We do not want a partisan gerrymander on either side, whether Republican or Democrat. We really want it to be as competitive as possible so that fair representation can happen in the United States Congress for Pennsylvania.
Let me ask you the same question, though, that I did bring up to Katie that Republicans come back with, and that is that the makeup of the state, as you said, you were talking about the diversity and the people of color, that the two districts in Philadelphia, but just those two out of 18.
Right.
So when Republicans say, you know, we can't help it that most Democrats are concentrated in the urban areas and the rest of Pennsylvania, if you go geographically, a huge amount of the state is registered Republican and votes Republican. What about that? I mean, on the surface, that would seem to make it difficult to draw up a map.
I would agree with you, but here is where compromise has to come in. If you have somebody from the Republican Party that holds those views, and you have somebody from the Democratic Party that has their views, and they actually get in the room and work it out, something can happen. But to have it just lopsided in one direction totally does not make sense. And so I think when you look at the opportunity, that this grand opportunity that we have right now to actually have constitutional maps for the first time, we've gone through three congressional cycles where we've, according to the courts, have had unconstitutional maps. I hope that we would get a map that is actually fair, that actually is can provide some sort of equal representation for everybody. And I agree with you, Scott. I think we have to be honest. The map, how we live in Pennsylvania, it is nothing we can do about it. It's not like we can tell everybody, okay, do musical chairs. Everybody, we're going to do the music and everybody move so we can be equally dispersed across the state. We know that's not the case. But what can happen is people of goodwill can look at a map and go, okay, we've got 18 congressional districts. We realize that we can do here, 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 that we ought to be able to have some sense of equal representation. There are 800,000 more Democratic registered voters than Republican voters. Now, I don't even want to get into the conversation of doing the distinction between registered voters and actual voters, because that takes us into another whole show. But what we have to be able to do is to look at this and go, okay, if there are 18 districts and we really want to do fair representation, that would generally mean, hey, can we probably have seven carved out that maybe look lean Republican? Can we find seven that probably lean heavily Democrat or Democratic? And there ought to be four somewhere that ought to be competitive. That gives you 18. That gives the voters the opportunity at that point in time to make the distinction in those areas where we can be competitive. I think what oftentimes the Democrats worry about is the kind of compactness that we see, particularly in the first congressional district. You go and look at the Republicans' map. For some strange reason, I don't know why, in Delaware County, they took the people of color pockets, Chester, Upper Darby, Lansdowne, Yeaton, and moved it into the first congressional district. That's unnecessary when I look at the map, when my mappers look at the map, because Delaware County in and of itself, Delaware County voters should be voting for a Delaware County representative. They don't have to come into Philadelphia. There's enough population in Philadelphia really to substantiate its own minority-majority district and keep the variables, the differences in reference to population right in that district. That's part of the problem. When you look at that map and see those issues, the red flags go up.
You know, there are so many questions about this, but when you were saying about, you know, breaking it down with 18 districts, you know, breaking it down 7-7 and then finding four in between. But then when you look at it geographically, how do you do that? Because, and as you said, you can't snake around the state. You have to have the districts connected.
Right.
And now we have some districts connected. I mentioned District 7 where there's a slim, a sliver there
goofy,
in Chester County.
Goofy kicking Donald,
right,
I think is what the world knows
Donald
it
Ducks.
As.
Yeah. But so what I'm saying is with Democrats packed into the urban areas and 90% of the state geographically that is Republican, how do you come up with maps that way?
Yeah. Once again, Scott, I don't disagree with you. I think my job,
I'm not agreeing. Yeah, I'm just asking a question.
I think our job at Common Cause is to create a level playing field. A competitive playing field for everybody so that everybody has an opportunity to win. We realize that in certain areas that it's going to lean a certain way. Philadelphia, you know, certain portions of the middle of the state are heavily Republican, very hard for probably a Democrat to win right now. But then there are some places that are like in the middle that I think we have the opportunity to create these sort of competitive districts. Like what would it look like in the middle of the state if you added a Dauphin County, a Lebanon County, a Schuylkill County, and maybe a Juniata County. Is that a district that can be a relatively competitive district that anybody can win? It would just basically be up to the voters to decide. And I think that's what all of us want. What we don't want to see is more goofy kicking Donald. What we don't want to see is county votes split and sent somewhere else. Go back and look at the Republicans' map, and I appreciate them giving a map. I already said that on Twitter. I said that to Drew Crumpton. Thank you for giving us a map. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to look at something. But when you look at the situation of Montgomery County, split four congressional districts, that makes no sense. Those are the things that I think if people got in the room and were willing to work on, things like that can be worked out. And then I think we would be able to see some. I think we would be able to see a better map that people would be able to sign off on.
Drew Crumpton is the state Senate counsel. We're going to talk more about this. And by the way, I see we have some very busy phones right now. We'll take your phone calls in just a few minutes. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News on all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar.
Smart Talk is supported by Capital Blue Cross, providing health care coverage accepted by doctors and specialists in all 50 states. More information is available at capbluecross.com. Capital Blue Cross, live fearless. Smart Talk is also supported by UPMC Pinnacle. Its 11 principal investigators and 12 nurse coordinators conduct research efforts to advance cardiovascular medicine. Information at upmcpinnacle.com/myheart.
Before we do go back to the phone and Micah Sims, wanted to take some time out because it is a big day. It is Valentine's Day today, and joining me is WITF's Joe Ulrich, and we are in, I was about to say the midst or the middle of WITF's annual Roses campaign, but I guess I can't say the middle.
We're
still in the midst.
We're in the midst, but we're on the end. In the end of the midst, I guess you could say. It is Valentine's Day.
The tail end of
our Valentine's Day fundraising campaign. You have until noon today to send some flowers to someone in the region here. It's really amazing. We partner with Royer's Flowers, and they can somehow get flowers to anyone in the region here for Valentine's Day if you order up until noon today. Again, here's the numbers. You know, if you're only ordering at this point, you're really one of those procrastinators. You're really waiting for the last minute.
Maybe they listened for the first time today, Joe. We'll give them credit.
That could be. But then I think there's those people that also just love the thrill.
I think so, too.
They've been listening to the campaign
all week,
but they're just like, you know what? I love that thrill of ordering at 9 in the morning on Valentine's Day.
Or 11 a.m.
11, there's still time. If you really love living on the edge, wait a few hours. But we'd rather that you take care of it now. Again, here are the numbers. If you can make a contribution of $125, we'll get a red a dozen red roses or a dozen rainbow roses with a contribution of $100. That'll be a half dozen red or rainbow roses. If you really want to wow someone, a contribution of $250, you'll be supporting public radio and you'll also send two dozen red roses in a vase. And hey, if you want to add $10, you get this awesome stuffed bear. His name is Chocolate Fondue. At least that's what the tag says. It's this gorgeous brown bear. He's got kind of a gold sheen going on.
He's not edible, though. Although
not
chocolate
edible.
Fondue.
No, yeah. I don't think you'd want to taste that bear. It doesn't. It probably tastes like, yeah. Anyhow, he's a furry, fluffy guy or girl. We don't know, actually.
No.
But it's a very cute bear. $10, you can add that on to your order. And one of the things we like to say is that it doesn't have to be a romantic interest.
Right.
It can be a kid who's off at school. This could be a service member that you know that has served their country. It could be a veterinarian. It could be your mail person. You know, someone who just, you know, is important in your life. Someone that you think about and you'd like to let know that you appreciate them. You know, anyone would enjoy roses. It would be such a nice surprise to just on Valentine's Day have some roses show up at your door from someone who's thinking about you. So that's something to think about when you send roses. And also, if you have received roses from us, we'd like to see them on social media. If you're on Instagram or Twitter, post a photo of those roses and use the hashtag WITFRoses. That's hashtag WITFRoses. We'd love to see photos of all the roses that are going out to folks in the central Pennsylvania region, also nationally as well. It looks like we are still missing four states.
Well, it's too late now.
Too late now for those four states, yeah. That's right. But still, there's still time to send locally right here in the region. So you can do that very quickly and easily at WITF.org or 1-800-233-9483.
Joe Ulrich, we'll be talking to you again in just a few minutes. And as our guest Micah Sims suggested, maybe on this Valentine's Day, a dozen roses from a Republican to a Democrat or vice versa in the legislature would go a long way. We're talking about redistricting and the latest court case. What's happened to Governor Wolf yesterday rejected the plan submitted, the new map submitted by Republicans in the legislature. The governor has until tomorrow to submit another map to the state Supreme Court. The state Supreme Court says that if they're not satisfied with the maps that they see, that they'll draw one up on their own. And the whole time, voters are left wondering, okay, I don't know who I'm going to be voting for or in which district. Candidates don't know that. So there's a lot going on. 1-800-729-7532 is the number to call. You could send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or comment on WITF Facebook page. On Twitter, we are at SmartTalkWITF. Our guest today is Micah Sims. He's Executive Director of Common Cause Pennsylvania. Micah, we have several calls now, all related to this topic, so let's take a few calls.
Okay.
Jim is in Enola. Jim, you're on the air.
Hi, Scott. This is a fascinating topic. I want to make three points as succinctly as possible. The first thing is it's hard to stop from laughing when the Republican legislative leaders say that it's just too hard to create districts. They have sophisticated computer software that is so good that it created a district that is one cartoon character kicking another one. Can you be serious? They absolutely can draw districts that will fairly allow Republicans, Democrats, and Independents to compete in the state. The second point is this whole situation is a mess, and there's plenty of blame to go around. The Republicans made an incredibly gerrymandered district after the 2010 census, and the Democratic Supreme Court set up, in my view, very unrealistic deadlines for the legislature and the governor to fix it. So I think both sides are somewhat at fault here. But here's the main point. Don't take your eyes off this main point. The whole system of drawing district lines is broken because we basically let state senators and state legislators draw their own districts and congressional districts. The long-term solution is to take the drawing of district lines out of the state legislature and the governor. We have to set up a nonpartisan commission to do it. We have a bill in the legislature to do that, two bills. One is House Bill 722. It's got more than 50% of the House members sponsoring that.
Yeah, I think 107 last I saw.
Yeah.
And Senate Bill 22 has a lot of sponsors too.
Yeah.
Those are the bills that we need to pass to fix this over the long term. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call. Yeah. He covered a lot of ground there, Mr. Sims.
Yeah, he did. And I agree. I think fixing the problem is definitely a nonpartisan, independent redistricting commission, not only on our congressional districts, but also probably on our legislative and state Senate districts as well. I would argue and say to the caller, thank you for your insight. I would tell the caller to not give up hope, that I believe that in the good interest of democracy, that ultimately democracy will prevail at the end of the day. It is frustrating. This is a very frustrating moment to feel, to have this happen in Pennsylvania, that we're having a whole lot of political shenanigans happening, and we can't get to the core of democracy, and that is voting for those that represent our interests in Washington, D.C., in the Congress. That is a frustrating thing on this day, and I hope, again, my hope on this Valentine's Day is that both the Senate and House leadership, both on the Democratic and Republican side, are listening to the program and are willing to come together. Hey, I'll be willing to sit in the room and mediate. Any of us in good government, we just really want good, fair maps. And we hope then at that point the governor would also be willing to sign off on a map like that. And fixing the process is not only the long-term, it is the long-term goal, and it is the current goal. Scott, it has to happen. We have to stop allowing our representatives to choose the voters and allow the voters to choose the representatives. That's problematic.
Why does it have to happen? I mean, let me just push back a little bit, because, I mean, the cynical point of view, and I think maybe the realistic point of view, is that incumbents, the majority party, now, it's Republican in this state. Mm-hmm. We know Maryland has the same situation going on with Democrats, that the Republican majority said, hey, elections, those results, they mean something.
Sure.
This is how the people voted. We're in the majority. So that gives them the right to protect their own. And again, in Pennsylvania, it's Republicans. In other states where Democrats are majority, they do the same thing. So, you know, looking at that cynically, does it have to happen? Yes, we want it to happen. Most people want it to happen. But does it have to happen?
I think it should happen. I think, guess what? The best way to test this is to allow, hopefully Representative Metcalf from the State Government Committee is listening, allow House Bill 722 out of committee. Let's put it to the floor. Let's allow the legislators to vote. Let's see if we've got, and I think they've got 107 sponsors, which is more than the 50%. If it passes, take it to the Senate. If the Senate passes, then we're going to go one more session, get that same vote, and let's put it to a constitutional referendum. Let's put it on the ballot. Let the people decide if it's time to have the people draw the lines and not the elected officials. If the people decide, hey, and to your point, we'd rather just let the politicians do it, then so be it. But at least give the opportunity for democracy to have a chance. Democracy is of the people, for the people, by the people. Give the people an opportunity to say, maybe it's time to change the way we do things as far as drawing maps right now.
You know, something that Jim brought up that I think even I read a lot of newspaper editorials and heard many commentators say in defense of Republicans in this case is that the Supreme Court did not give them a whole lot of time to come up. But when I say, okay, but let me just add something, because, you know, something that Jim said is that, yes, they have the software to do it. It could probably be done in an hour or so. Maybe I'm overstating a little bit. But at the same time, what didn't happen, and I would hope would happen if, you know, we look at this a little closer, there was no input from the public other than phone calls, emails, no public hearings on it.
Agree. Totally agree. And at Common Cause, that is one of the reasons why we are pushing for transparency. Not just allow us to see what's happening, but allow engagement from the general public so that the testimonies can come forward. I applaud Governor Wolf for going on the listening tour. I was part of it, and we heard a lot of great commentary, a lot of great insight from regular, ordinary citizens of the Commonwealth. That needs to happen when we're talking about redrawing lines. I do admit, Scott, to you that the time frame is really tight. So here's one of the things I know I'm going to be advocating through Common Cause. We don't need a legislative redistricting commission just to come together just for a short period in time. I believe this matter is so sensitive and is so germane to democracy in Pennsylvania that actually a commission needs to be operating the entire time. We can't just wait at the last minute, give them this short window to get all this stuff done and hope and pray that it gets done and we don't end up in more litigation. That's one. Two, I think, and hopefully we'll have a report coming soon from Common Cause. I wonder how much money has been spent, how much taxpayer dollars have been spent to actually take the vote out of taxpayers and not, from the taxpayers.
Not to mention the litigation you're talking
about. Well, that's what I'm talking about. In reference to the our tax dollars are paying for that litigation that the certain Republicans are fighting to take away from people. So that's an interesting context and concept in and of itself. Hopefully at Common Cause we'll have that report coming soon. But this speaks to the entire chaos of this, and it's unfortunate. It is frustrating. And what we believe is that at this moment, give us a map. I would like it to be worked out. And then let's fix the process. Let's move House Bill 722 out of committee or Senate Bill 22 out of committee. Let's get it to a vote. And then let's let the people decide who should be drawing the maps.
You know, because very often it appears that Pennsylvania works out of chaos.
Yes.
That, you know, we only deal with a big issue like this when forced to, and right. then it's all forgotten afterwards.
Right.
So, all right, let's take some more phone calls. Let's see. We have Corey in Lancaster. Corey, you're on the air. Whoops, I guess Corey's no longer there. Sorry about that, Corey. I know that we have a lot of calls coming in. here's one that a little bit of a different question you haven't heard. Steve, you're in Lebanon.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I just think that the Democrats lost and in this election, the past election, and they lost big time. And I think elections have consequences, and that every time the Democrats lose here recently, they sue. And then just quickly, like you hit the nail on the head when you talked about most of the Democrats are spread out in the cities, and there's just no way in this state that you're going to get equal representation of, you know, half Democrats, half. It's just not going to happen. And I think the Democrats need to realize that. So,
all right. Thank you very much. I think there's some, you could make the point that both parties have some hurt feelings, put it that way.
Yeah, they do. That happens. No one likes to take a loss, and people want to find their way back to victory. But I don't think that we should be using the will and the vote of people to do that. If you want to come back, you know, I'm not talking to any particular party, get better candidates. Run better campaigns. Actually go out and knock doors. And I'm going, this is now not my Common Cause speech, but this is just my background as a political strategist and one who's run campaigns. Go knock doors. Go meet, talk to the people. Don't talk at the people. So for that's on the campaign side. Again, right now, I just want a level playing field. I do believe when you look at the map of Pennsylvania, and it was part of the Commonwealth Court proceeding, expert came up with 500 maps that either were 10-8 or 9-9. So to actually come up with a real map that offers competitiveness is a actual possibility. We just need to be of goodwill and be willing to do it.
Let's take a call from yep. Rob in Marysville. Rob, that you had the question, I thought, or the observation that is a little bit different. What's on your mind?
Well, thanks, Scott and Michael. Didn't the same people who created our congressional maps draw the House and Senate districts for the Pennsylvania General Assembly?
Yes.
And if the congressional maps are unconstitutional, aren't our House and Senate districts also?
Hmm. Hey, thank you very much for your call. You know, I was wondering when someone was going to bring this up. I know we have to deal with maybe one issue at a time,
right.
But let me ask you this. In your opinion, Common
sure.
Causes, research, are the state general assembly maps gerrymandered?
That's a great question, one that we have not gotten to because we're dealing with the congressional maps. But let me say this. The process is different. The congressional maps are brought in by the legislature. They are voted upon. Then the Senate votes on them, and then it's signed by the governor. In the case of our state legislative districts, it is the Legislative Redistricting Commission, which is the majority chair, the minority chair of the House, the majority chair, the minority chair, minority chair of the Senate, and they have to decide on a fifth person. Normally, the Supreme Court picks that fifth person, and then they go into deliberations and create the state legislative and state Senate map. So it's a little bit different. And this is one of the reasons why we believe it's time to fix the process. Because if you've got a fifth party to mediate in reference to state Senate and state House seats, why not do the same thing for the congressional seats? That's not what happens. What happens is whoever's in charge creates a map. They put it in a bill. It hits the floor. The debate happens. Whoever's got the majority of votes, that's how the bill will ultimately get passed. And then, as the case in 2011, if you are the majority in the House and you've got the governor's mansion, it becomes a sign off and it's done. So we're in a little bit of a crisis, because in 2011, it was all Republican. In this case, now we've got the Republican House, but we've got a Democratic governor. And so we're going to see the gridlock and the chaos. I recommend we remove them out of this process and allow independent commission to do it, and then we probably will not have this chaos, and I think that's for the betterment of the Commonwealth.
Let's take a call from Corey in Lancaster. Corey, you're there? Nope, I guess Corey is not there. One of the questions his suggestion was for drawing a map, the rule of right angles only for map drawing.
That's good. That's
Yeah, that does sound like someone who... knows a lot about geometry and that kind of thing. Let's go to Blaine in York. Blaine, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I have talked to my state senator about this, and actually they got back to me. And we need to look at the state constitution. It says that they all have to be compact, but we didn't define what compact is. And my state representative's office person told me that, hey, we might have the same definition of compact. Well, my definition is we need to take the area by the perimeter of each district, and they ought to be very equal or as close as possible. And these districts may be legal, but they're not moral. And I would love to see us do one where we have multiple people create maps with multiple districts, and then it gets put to the election of the people of the state of Pennsylvania, and the people vote on it.
All right.
That is as fair as we could possibly get, but obviously the legislature is never going to give that up. They're not going to do it. And I serve my country, but I have no faith in my country anymore, because everybody's doing everything for political purposes and not for moral purposes.
Blaine, thank you very much for your call. Do you know of any state that does it that way, where referendum, where voters decide on the districts?
I am not aware, Scott, of any state that does it that way. And let me say to the caller, thank you for your service to the country. It does hurt my heart to hear his level of frustration with our country in reference to our government. And I think, once again, I think when you hear callers like we just heard, when I hear it, it makes me go, okay, let me put my ego aside. Let me put my party agenda aside and do what's in the best interest of everyday people and come to a compromise. You know, part of governing is really about compromise, is being able to work across the aisle. And we're seeing less of that, Scott, not only in Pennsylvania, but in the country, period. And I think it's becoming frustrating. And I think what it will lead to is less voter turnout, because people get so frustrated. And why should I vote now? Because once these people get in, they never do anything. All they do is argue and fight all the time. That's a black eye on democracy. And I'm hopeful that I know we at Common Cause and other good groups like League of Women Voters, Committee of 70, other good groups out there are trying to overcome that whole narrative that we don't need to be in this era of taking away democracy, but we need to be lifting up democracy. We live in the great, I contend, we live in the greatest country on the face of the planet. And part of that is because we are able to exercise our rights. And to hear the level of frustration by that call and the number of calls I get, emails that I receive, just frustrated at this process around gerrymandering or other processes, even when you deal with educational funding or you deal with anything else that is germane to helping people pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, people are frustrated. And so I'm hopeful that we are able through this process to really be able to prick at the consciousness of elected officials and say, okay, at some point in time, it's time to stop the shenanigans and move on to the better government government. This is a commonwealth. Start doing it for the common good of the commonwealth. I don't want to hear any more about trying to impeach justices simply because you're upset at the decision. That makes no sense. I didn't hear anybody doing that previously when decisions were made by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Talk about impeaching justices just because you didn't go with the, didn't like the agreement. So stop the shenanigans and let's get down to the everyday working of trying to help everyday people. That's what's not happening. Every day, Scott, you and I get up and we try to do the best we can for our families. We try to do the best for whomever we're working for. We try to do the best for our community. I'm wondering where has that type of ethos like left the room in reference to some of our elected officials. I know there are people in that capital who are concerned about people living in Lebanon, people living in Lancaster, people living in Harrisburg, people living in Pittsburgh, people living in Philadelphia, Erie, throughout this entire state. There are 12.8 million people in this state who every day have left the job of democracy, of government, on certain people. And we need to hold them accountable to doing that. This is important. This is an important moment in Pennsylvania. And I realize, and I think you realize, I think a number of your callers realize it. And instead of us acting like the rest of the country, maybe we need to take the lead in the country and show that we can actually work together regardless of party for everyday people.
Let's take a call from Joel in Harrisburg. Joel, you're on the air.
Yeah, in the spirit of compromise, Dianne Feinstein mentioned that this morning, that she considers herself a compromiser. My suggestion is to have a new map drawn sometime in the middle of 2019, a better map than the Republicans proposed this week. Use this map that they did propose for 2018. Time is of the essence. And that would only work, however, if the Supreme Court, not the legislature, but the Supreme Court could guarantee that that map would be redrawn and improved in time for the 2020 elections. You know, the idea of an independent commission is great, but I'm looking for something doable. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. It sounds as if what Joel is suggesting there is that there's just not enough time to implement this.
Again, I would have to disagree. It's not we don't have time to create a map. It seems as what we don't have time is to get off of our egos and be willing to work for the common good of the commonwealth. As you said, Scott, you could do a map in an hour or two, maybe 3 hours of the entire commonwealth. It's about people getting behind closed doors, and actually they don't need to be closed doors anymore. Just be transparent and be open. Tell us what's going on. Allow the cameras in. Give a report. Here's an update. Where I would love to get an update today from your bureau reporter or from some reporter saying that the governor and Speaker Terzai, they're in conversations right now. They're trying to see if they can work out a map. I would love to hear that. And I think that's what we need to do, because I think we can get to a map in 2018. To your caller, we're going to get new maps again in 2021 because of the census. So what I don't think I wouldn't like to see is for us to do one map now, another map next year, and then we're getting another map in 2021. Let's get a map that is constitutional right now for the voters for 2018, and then let's make sure we do a good census count, because that's going to be critical.
Another issue.
That's another issue. And then let's make sure we have the right process to draw the maps in 2021, and then I think we will have done a great job for democracy.
Micah Sims is the Executive Director of Common Cause Pennsylvania. Mr. Sims, thank you very much for being with us today.
Scott, thanks for having me.
Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow and in the next few days, but love to have you on again. Talk
be glad to come
there are
back.
A lot of other issues that with government reform and transparency that we need to talk about and didn't get an opportunity to get to them today.
Thank you
very much. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. WITS Roses campaign, well, it ends today because today is the big day. Today is Valentine's Day. We're joined by WITF's Joel Ulrich. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much when do we get to the point where we have people out there panicking because it's Valentine's Day and they haven't done anything?
Well, like I said, I mean, there are those that love to just live a life of danger and a life of excitement, and they're going to wait till 11:30. We can Royers can deliver these flowers. You can make a contribution and still get roses to someone locally up until noon today. So there are those that will want
to wait. That's if you order today. Right.
That's if you order today. Right. Yeah, there are those that will love to wait until 11:30, 11:45, 11:50 to make those contributions and send those roses. But maybe you just forgot and you don't want to live that life of danger, then go ahead and make that contribution right now. You can go to WITF.org or 1-800-233-9483. You know, I was listening to the conversation about redistricting and things like that. And Scott, can't we all just live in one big heart-shaped district here on Valentine's Day? I think I've got the solution, Scott, and it's love. It is a big heart-shaped district.
I think you're right.
We're all in it together, Scott.
And the way Pennsylvania has laid out, maybe three hearts.
Yeah, we'd need a couple hearts.
Yeah, but, and maybe one on its side or something like that. But I think you're right.
You know, love can go a long way. And really, when you make a contribution here during our Roses campaign, your contributions, you send roses to someone, but you're also paying for things like Smart Talk. You're helping to support the great conversation that we had today. I saw your phone lines were just lit up.
Oh,
this
absolutely.
Is a conversation that lots of people, rightly so, feel very concerned about or very interested in. It's a big topic right now. It's a big national topic. It's popping up in national news. But you're right in the middle of it right here in Pennsylvania, and you're getting these conversations on Smart Talk. We have reporters that are doing great jobs. Emily Previty and Katie Meyer have been covering this a lot.
They've been on NPR the last few days talking about this because there is such an interest across
the country.
And I've
seen them filing stories at 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night. They are up and they are covering the story. They're following it minute by minute. And that's what we get here. That's what your contributions pay for. You get to send someone some roses, but you also get to help support this kind of great journalism that really is, you know, pretty exclusive to WITF and public media in general. You get these calm conversations. You know, we're not yelling at you. We're trying to just present the facts and, you know, kind of let you, you know, digest it and, you know, just it treats you with respect, I think, is my main point. You can make a contribution at WITF.org or 1-800-233-9483.
You have some other numbers to pass along then, too.
We do have some numbers. Here are the hard numbers. For a contribution of $125, you can send a full dozen red or rainbow roses. If you want to make a contribution of $100, you can send a half dozen red or rainbow roses. And if you're really, you know, if you really want to go all out, a contribution of $250 will send two dozen red roses in a vase. And also, you can add this cool stuffed bear for $10. It's a brown bear this year. We had this white bear holding a red heart.
For years.
And now we've got this cool brown bear. It's got a little tie around his neck that has chocolate-covered strawberries in it, which is pretty neat. It says chocolate fondue on the tag. So it's a cool bear. Add $10. You can send that as well. And again, you know, it's nice to send to someone who you're thinking of. Doesn't have to be a romantic interest. Could be a barista that, you know, knows how to make your coffee really well. Anyone that is important to you that you'd like to, you know, just show them that you're thinking about them. You can make that contribution and send some roses right now at WITF.org or 1-800-233-9483.
A cool bear. That's
cool bear.
First time this week I've heard that bear described as cool.
He's been described as hot chocolate or ho-cho. yeah, he's had a lot of descriptions, but I think he's pretty cool.
He is pretty cool. And you know, all the bears, no matter what they look like, mm-hmm. are nice and cuddly, and this one is too.
Definitely.
Joel Rick, thank you very much for being with us today.
Scott.
Take advantage of this, folks. Coming up on tomorrow's program, the president has proposed an infrastructure program. We're going to be talking about infrastructure needs here in Pennsylvania.
Smart Talk is produced by WITF as part of our mission to deliver relevant, high-quality programming. Support comes from Capital Blue Cross, which shares WITF's commitment to being a trusted resource in our communities. Capital Blue Cross, live fearless. Smart Talk is also supported by UPMC Pinnacle, committed to reducing hospital-acquired infections and readmission rates. More information on UPMC Pinnacle's achievements in patient safety can be found at upmcpinnacle.com/quality.